Hey, church family, we have some exciting events happening this summer. So let's take a quick look at some things that are coming up for you and your family. First up, Live It Out VBS starts on Monday, July 22nd at 6 p.m. right here at the church. Parents, if your children plan to attend, please register in advance. That'll help us keep things moving and running smoothly on day one, and it helps limit the confusion. You can register by scanning the QR code in the lobby. We are so excited to see your kids this year. Ladies, we have two exciting events coming up for you on July 16th. Start your morning with a bike ride at 9 a.m. meeting at the Cadillac Library, and then come back for a women's ministry bonfire at 6:30 p.m. at Jamie Power's house. We'll provide hot dogs and drinks. Just bring a dish to share and enjoy the fellowship. Next up, baptisms are happening Sunday, August 10th during our outdoor service at Center Lake. If you've made the decision to follow Jesus and want to take that next step, this is a powerful moment to share with your church family. Let us know if you'd like to be baptized, and we want to celebrate with you. And finally, this year, child dedications will be held separately from our baptism service. We believe both events are meaningful and deserve their own celebration. Child dedication will be held during the service on Sunday, September 21st. Look for the sign up coming in the next couple of weeks in the lobby. That's it for now. For more information or to sign up for any of these events, please see Leslie or visit our website. Let's keep living out our faith together this summer. It's an exciting season for our church community. And now, I am thrilled to introduce someone who is not only a powerful man of God, but also someone I deeply respect, Pastor Wayne. He's a brother in Christ who lives out his faith all across the globe and is truly one of the most knowledgeable men of Scripture that I have ever met. So open your hearts to hear a word from God, brought to you by my crazy African brother, my mentor, and most importantly, my friend.
Well, I'm a crazy African, so it's crazy awesome to be here with you guys. And I'm very excited to be here while Brother Dylan rests a little bit, and so I'm happy to serve like this morning. Let us pray together. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be here this morning with my wife Sumari. And Lord, I just pray that we will experience that God is in this place. And it was just awesome to see where you have called Brother Dylan to. And to be praying there in his office and praying over this place as my wife and I was walking through this space and meeting some of the awesome brothers and sisters here. And it always, when we serve the same Lord, when we walk into places together, we don't know each other at all, but yet we feel like family very quickly. And so, Father, I just pray that that you will be here and speaking into our lives, encouragement, and bring healing to the people that we prayed over. And may you continue to feed our souls so that we can grow in you stronger and stronger and make a lasting difference with our lives. Holy Spirit, may you be speaking to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, thank you so much for receiving my wife and I, Sumari, sitting there in the back. Wayne is, of course, a nickname because I came to America and realized nobody can say my name. So I guess that's not a good thing because nobody wants to speak to the pastor. At first, I thought I was smiling or something, and then I realized, well, they just cannot say my name, so they feel awkward. So our kids went to Waynesfield Goshen School. We landed first when we came in a tiny little town, New Hampshire, Ohio. And so we took the kids to Waynesfield School. So I told my wife, oh, I think the people in America can say the word Wayne. So I became Wayne. My mother, 16 years later, is still struggling with that. It's like, I gave you that name. It's an easy name. Everybody in the country can say your name. America, the best powerful nation in the world. How is it possible they cannot say your name? So she's still struggling with that. Pray for my mother. So we really enjoyed Michigan. We came a day early to to just enjoy the beauty that you have here. I don't know what the problem is that Ohio have with Michigan. I've never understand that whole thing, but we had a lovely time here. Probably because I don't understand football. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but we enjoyed Holland. That was awesome. Feels a little bit close to home for us because we are originally Dutch. We're originally from Holland. That's why my last name is two words. So my real name is Wijnand de Wet, which is very, very Dutch. So it was nice to go to Little Holland. A few years ago, my son and I was there to enjoy the tulips, and so this was an opportunity to bring my wife as well. We went to the Sleeping Bear Dunes. I didn't see any sleeping bears, just an extremely high pile of sand. And my wife loves Michigan so much that we picked up a ton of rocks. I don't know if that's legal or not, so please don't rat me out. We have a ton of rocks that we'll be taking home to put in our garden, and please don't tell my Ohio friends that. Then yesterday evening we enjoyed the sunset on Peterson Road Beach, I guess it's called, and so that was awesome, one of the most beautiful sunsets we've seen. So you have a beautiful state. May the Lord bless you here. So I'm originally from South Africa. Our kids were born there as well. We were called by God here, and circumstances also played a role. We moved here 16 years ago. The kids were they just turned 5 and 7, and we did all the fun African things, of course. We walked with lions and see if we can run faster than the cheetah, and the only big cat that you can play with a little bit once it's eaten, grown up in captivity and sleepy, you can actually play with it just like a little cat, and it will even purr. It's pretty amazing. We rode on elephants, we rode on ostriches, and enjoyed the sun. And it was great coming to America. I just made one crucial mistake. I forgot to ask God if it snows where he's calling me to. A little after we arrived, I realized that was a huge mistake. Yet, because of my accent, I've learned, when I tell people I'm from Ohio, they hear all kinds of different things. So I sometimes wonder if God didn't call me to Hawaii and I heard Ohio, So one day if I get to heaven and I got that wrong, I'm going to at least use a century of my eternity to discuss that with God, I did grow up in South Africa, my wife as well. I grew up on a mine community. My parents on both sides, my father and mother, were farmers. And so seeing the farmland, and so he's very used to that. I love the farmers. And nobody in my family ever went to college. The farms became too small. My dad ended up on a coal mine. And my great-grandmother gave my mother this Bible just before I turned one. It's in my mother language. English is, of course, our second language. So that's why I sound differently, I guess. I'm sorry about that. I've been trying for 16 years to do something about that, but I still struggle. People say you have an accent, and I really want to say back, yeah, you too, but I never do that. My great-grandmother gave this Bible to my mother before I turned one, and she said, you need to give this Bible to this child for his first birthday, because one day he will be a pastor. She had no reason to say that. Everybody was farmers or worked on the mine. So as I grew up, my mother shared that with me, and I read through this Bible before I was done with elementary school, because that's what I saw my father did all of his life. He never read any book in his life except the Bible. I've never seen him read a magazine, a newspaper, a storybook, nothing except this. I'm like, well, if my dad thinks this is so important, my great-grandmother gave me this, you know, I guess I want to know what's in it, right? So I read it, and I don't know how many times since then. And one thing that I've learned over and over and over and over and over is the Word of God, you know, tells you so many amazing things. But one of the things that it constantly says, you see God the clearest in the gaps. Right, so somebody gets sick and you know what the doctors can do, but you're not quite sure if they'll be able to help completely. And so what do? You say, we need to do something impromptu today. We need to call on the God that shows up in the impromptu moments. We need to call on the God that's in the gap. You know, you're like, we need to get away, bunch of Israelites from the Egyptians. We need to get to where God wants us to be, but here comes the Egyptians, and there's a sea in front of you. And like, God, you called us. We need to get there. There's a whole bunch of really upset people behind us. There's a sea in the middle. We need you to step into what? Into the gap that we know we need to get through here, but there's no way. And so God just opens it. And then you're in a desert and you realize, you know, you kind of run out of breath and you call on God. And then what does God do? I wonder how these things work. Have you ever wondered about that? But it sounds to me like he calls his angels together and he says, we have a new thing on your, you know, task list. Every morning real early, you're going to bake some bread and you're going to drop it from heaven. You know, and then every morning you go out and there's a bread on the desert floor. Have you ever been in the desert? Like the real, I know, you know, you have this sleeping bear dune thing. But, you know, you go to Dubai or something like that and you go into the desert. I mean, it is pretty incredible. You realize there's really, really nothing there. And really, really no bread and no water. And you go like, God, we need you, right? And so God shows up. And he makes water run from a rock and the bread falls from the earth and the birds fly really low and you have everything that you need. And then you go like, man, I really struggle to get rid of this whole sin thing that is messing up my life all the time. It feels to me like I have no hope and no peace and no joy and it's just a big mess. I know there's a different way of living, but I have no idea how to get there. And then God shows up in the gap. And he brings us Jesus. And he helps us to bridge that gap between this incredible mess and a holy, incredible, purposeful, meaningful life in him where you have all the joy and the peace that you can find. And the gap is bridged. And this word tells us about God in the gaps. And so I'm hoping to show this God to you again this morning a little bit clearer. People ask me, where do you find this God? We know about him. We sing about him. We believe that he can do incredible things. But if you really need him to show up in your gap, where do you find him? So we're going to read from Psalm 46. If you have your Bible, physical Bible, or on your phone, or whatever, you're welcome to turn there. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. Pastor Dylan told me that you guys are in the Psalms. So that's awesome. So he said, well, you can preach from the Psalms, or you can preach from something else. I'm like, well, there's 150. I'm sure I can find one that will work. So from Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present. So sometimes it helps to say the opposite so that you really get it just a little bit differently. A never-absent God in trouble, right? Never-absent, ever-present. That's who he is. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, you can drop a big bomb on a mountain and it disintegrates. if I can use our president's word, it gets obliterated. Right? Man, we do have a president that comes up with some cool words. I don't know where you're at politically. This is not a political statement, okay? I'm just saying. I want to use such cool words as well. I've been working on that. So very cool English words. When things around you gets obliterated, our God is the one that keeps you from becoming so fearful. He says, even when things shake around you, you will not fear. We've experienced this past week in our country. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, right? You see what happened in Texas and other places with the extreme flooding. And go like, if you can find your God in the midst of these things, whether it's wars or whether it's flooding or whether it's just a whole group of people suddenly getting really sick all at the same time, if you can find your God. And how far is he away? I'm still struggling to get used to inches and feet and whatever, but I guess about 1.5 feet, I don't know. That's how far you need to travel to find the God that's in the gaps, right? About 1.5 feet, unless my American measurements is off, forgive me. Why on earth you don't use, some other much easier systems? I have not figured that one out yet. You love the snow and you love inches and feet. I'm like, okay, whatever works for you, right? You just need to do that, right? You realize that, right? That's what you did this morning, so 10 out of 10 for that. Please don't ever, the only mistake, whoever the gentleman was that came up here, the only mistake that he did was to ask your permission and to say, I'm sorry that we need to do this. So don't do that again, brother, right? Yeah, you're so welcome. You just go like, let's pray. Let's go and find our God. I had a very simple dad, grew up really, really poor. There was not a day in my life where I did not see my dad and my mother on their knees, crying out to God. I was 16 years old and wondering, should I be a pastor or what should ministry look like or whatever. My mother goes on her knees into a room. Now, what do we do when our kids are 16 and they wonder what to do? What do? We go and do all kinds of tests. Let them speak to all kinds of guidance counselors and do all these things. And I'm not saying you should not do those things, but the first thing that you should do is you should do what? Find God in the gap. I cannot see into the future what my child should do. I know that God has something great for my child. I just cannot get there, but who can get there? Who is the one that has control over the future? God, right? So I need God in the gap. So where do I find him? I travel 1.5 feet and I find him. And as she's on her knees by our bed, where we have been with my parents, my sister and I, every night of my life, God says, don't you see? And she looks up and in a vision, I'm standing on the bed and I'm preaching. And she listens to me, and she realizes I speak a language that's not my own. And she looks around the bed, and she sees there's people of all kinds of color around different nations around the bed. And she says, God answered you, my son. This is what you need to do. This is where we find this God in the gaps. This is where we find him. This amazing, awesome God, our refuge, ever-present, that helps us not to fall into fear, no matter what happens. Verses 4 to 5, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And so rivers, big streams of water, made the Israelites really happy. That would be like where God is at, there will be a lot of water. You guys don't get that. You have a lot of water. Do you realize that? I sit at that sea, and I told my wife, if we send a picture to our family just off the sunset and this lake, you know, and with the sand that looks like, we can send it to our people and say we're sitting at the beach, at the ocean. It looks just like an ocean. Do you realize if you come from a water-poor country where there's not a single lake, if you don't pray and the water doesn't come from heaven, there's no water. There's nothing to drink. There's nothing to plant. You plant your crop, the water doesn't come from heaven, the water doesn't come. It is an incredible thing to live in Israel or in South Africa where it's water-poor countries and you sit at a lake like that. You're like, you could just go in there and just start drinking as much as you want. You'll go like, bloop, you know? And you'll be like these things, I don't know what they call it, when you go fishing, there's one thing that stays on top of the water. What do you call that little thing? A what? Bobber. Oh, I learned a new word today. Bobber, and you bobber around, something like that, right? And you can still continue to drink until you pop, I guess. It's just the most amazing thing. And so the Israelites write, you know, David writes a psalm, and it's like, where God is at, there's what? It's just an amazing amount of water. It's like, that would be like heaven, right? So I don't know, you know, but I guess Americans will say, you know, there was lots and lots of pizza that made glad the city of God, right? I don't know, what makes it for you? Something like that, can you relate? Because lots of water, I'm sure that doesn't do it for you. Go like this, there's always lots of water, you know. What's so different about that? You understand? David is really excited. He's like, where God is at, these kind of problems that we have here is not just solved, it's like tremendously solved. That's just how that is. And then he says in verse 5, God is within her. She will not fall. This city, this place where God is at, it's a metaphor, right? Where God is at in this city, it cannot fall. Why? Because God is there. God will help her at break of day. God will help her at break of day. And it cannot fail, cannot fall, because God is within her. And you know that this city, this holy place, now that Jesus had come, becomes who? Becomes you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You are now the holy place. You are now the temple. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Why? Because Jesus Christ has bought you at a high price. And your value shifted. You shifted from the most, you know, low-cost coal miner's house to a palace that is worth more than money can buy. Your status shifted. Your worth shifted. And God is in you. And if God is in you, that means you cannot fall. You cannot come apart. No matter what hits you. And you will find that because God is in you, He knows you so well that even before you come up with what you need, He's already there and He already provides. Listen carefully. You know, if there's one thing that we need to do when we read God's Word, we need to read it slowly. Because if you read it too quick, you read over the beautiful things. This is beautiful. Listen carefully. The end of verse 5, God will help her at break of day. In other words, bright and early. You come up like, Lord, I have a problem. So I needed to become a pastor. In South Africa, in my church tradition, that means 6 full-time years of going to school and seminary. And I stayed 2 more years, you know, for some other studies and whatever. So, you know, somebody needs to pay the bill. My coal miner dad had enough money to pay the registration fee. Not the first year or the first subject, the registration fee, okay? That's what he had money for. And so the next moment I get a phone call, from my pastor, and he says, why don't I need to see you? So I didn't have a car, right? So I'm 18 years old, cannot afford a car, so I have a bicycle. So I drive my bicycle to the pastor's house, a couple of miles, and he says, I have good news for you. You know, I know you're going to study for a pastor, and so I was looking to see if there's some way we can help you to get funding. This is not a general thing in South Africa, okay? Scholarships here, the most familiar thing, just like pizza. South Africa, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Very rare thing. And so he says, Svainon, since I've came to this church, there was the Stonder Trust. And the Stonder Trust was there to help students that wants to become pastors, to help him with money. But we, in all my years, have never been able to disperse all this money because Uncle Mr. Stonder was a very serious dude and he had a lot of regulations. Whoever wants to use this money needs to come from this place in this church tradition, had to go to this school, need to have these grades, need to be from this socioeconomical part of life. And nobody had fit that criteria. In all these years, you are the first. I'm like, oh my goodness. God showed up where? In the gap. Here is you. Here's what God wants you to do, and there's a gap. And you can go crazy or not do it at all. Or you can move forward to what God is calling you to with the faith that when you get to the gap and you think you're going to disappear in the abyss, you'll be able to walk right over the gap because there's actually a breach that you just cannot see but actually exists. And so God shows up in the gaps, friends, bright and early in the morning. Verses 6 to 7 says this, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This means that God can control nations, that God can control, in other words, entities, things outside of your control for your favor. Do you still believe that? That our God is so big that a gap arises where he needs to reach organizations, nations, things way beyond your control to get you to where you need to be at. And I'm telling you that is true. This thing that he, when nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he is still in control of all of that, is really, really true. So God called us to America in April of 2008. Okay, the beginning of April 2008. 2 weeks later, it's my wife's birthday. And so what do you think we did when God called us? And I'm making a very long story very short. We did what I just told you to do, right? You travel 1.5 feet. That's the first thing you do. You go like, well, you guys need to go to crazy Africa. What will you do? Hopefully you don't call a friend first. You pray first, right? So we did that, and we're certain that this is what God has for us, and so we need to leave family. We didn't run away from anything. I served in a big church. Had a wonderful job. My wife had a wonderful job. She's an accountant. We had wonderful jobs. Kids are doing really great. We're very, very happy. No problems in our family. We didn't run away from anything, and so God calls and moves through his call and through circumstances and so on. And so 2 weeks later, it's my wife's birthday. We go to a neighboring town to go and watch a movie. On the way there, she says, well, can we just stop at our financial advisor? I'm like, well, that's a weird thing to ask for on your birthday. But, well, whatever, honey, it's your birthday, right? And you know, I'm married a little over 30 years now, right, guys? How do you stay married for 30 years? You say, yes, dear, a lot, right? So like, yes, dear, let's go. You know, weird thing, but who cares, right? Whatever makes a wife happy, happy wife, happy life, right? So we go and we meet with our financial advisor, and I enjoy coffee, just like my brother Dylan, right? Does he still drink coffee? Good, good, good. He's still on the right road, right? A lot of Jesus and a decent amount of coffee. That's how you get through a day, right? And so I sit there with my nice coffee, and the financial advisor asks, what are you guys here for? And my wife says, well, we just want to sell all of our stock and everything that we have, you know, retirement, all of these things. We're going to America. And I'm like, you know, we're like, can you excuse us for a second? You know, here in America, it's really nice. Want ons kan net ons taal praat en niemand kan ons verstaan. You weet, here in America, we can just speak our mother language right in front of you, and none of you will understand. But I'm saying, like, you look really weird, you know. Did you see this really weird dude? And I'm standing like a feet away from you, and he's like, you know. I'm just joking, right? But we cannot do it in South Africa, right? So can you excuse us a little bit? My wife goes, like, God's calling us. We need to do this. I'm like, okay, well, we did pray, and we are certain. But it's 2 weeks ago. We started this process. That's not a long time. I don't know how long you take for big decisions, but for us, that's pretty short, you know. And so we sell all of our stuff. Can you remember what happened in 2008, friends? The housing market tanked. The stocks collapsed. If we had waited 1 month, 1 month, we would not have been able to come here. I would not stand in front of you. Because different than what immigration sometimes is being portrayed, it costs a lot of money to do what we did. And a lot of time. And a lot of paperwork. It doesn't happen quickly, and it doesn't happen cheaply. I can guarantee you that. And so we needed the money. We needed our retirement money and, you know, money that we had in stocks and whatever to make the move possible. If we waited 1 month, I would not be here today. I needed organizations or someone to shift to get me a job. I knew one person in America. So I met him by accident at a New Testament seminar in South Africa. Didn't know him at all. I just exchanged email addresses. Wasn't a big buddy of mine, nothing. Like, I sent him an email. I know the one person in America, right? So that's good. So like, hey, you know, can you help me out with a job? The answer comes back. This is now June, July, August. You know, all the pastors in America have moved around. I don't understand nothing about that. Why would they only move in June, July, August? That's just so weird. Why don't they move in other months? They all move in June, July, August. What's so special about June, July, August? Like, you know, it's cold, it's miserable in the southern hemisphere, in South Africa. It's winter, right? It's cold, it's miserable. They all choose to move in the winter, June, July, August. What is wrong with these Americans? You know, they have nothing to do in the winter, I guess. I don't know. You know, it's like, no, we cannot help you. All the pastors moved already. I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. You know, they moved like, you know, that's okay. So we go on the internet. Somebody goes like, well, I'm an accountant. I need to do my studies again. So, you know, North Carolina, there's a bunch of South Africans there. And she goes like, well, I'll go to the university in North Carolina. And she makes an appointment there. This is now the beginning of October, okay, of the same year, 2008. And I go online, I Google, I go like, I'm so excited. I go like, oh my word, Sumi, all the Americans love the Bible in North Carolina. They are living in the Bible Belt. You know, I love the Bible, the Americans love the Bible, you're going to go and study, I'm going to find all these people that love the Bible, and they're going to give me a job. That's our plan. We buy a plane ticket. Here we come. Just before we come, we get a phone call from the one dude that I knew in America. He says, you know what, Wayne? There's a pastor in the area of New Hampshire, Ohio. He got himself fired. And we need a pastor there. Would you be willing to come for an interview? You know, my wife goes like, how can we get there? Like, oh, that's pretty far from North Carolina. We need to fly there. It's on my wife because she forgot to ask a very important question. What's that? Does it snow in Ohio, right? She missed that question, like, completely. So we get a plane ticket, fly up there. I get the job. And we started in January of 2009. Now, people, if you understand anything about real legal immigration, you do not move from making that decision in October to accept a job offer and be in America January 1st, 2009 to start. It's literally impossible. It doesn't happen. Except if you work with big corporations and the corporations do the shift. You yourself decide to go, it just doesn't happen. And so nations, organizations, and things were moved by who? By God. At an incredible speed to make this happen. So I come here, just found my feet, and then God says, I want you to leave full-time pastoral ministry. I want you to start a missions organization. So that's a fun thing. I'm not a citizen yet. We have a parsonage now, finally. Finally, we have a little bit of income. My wife is not allowed to work yet. And we have two little kids. I just got used to driving on the wrong side of the road that you call the right side of the road. And so I'm still confused about that. I don't know how many times I've almost died. And so I'm just got used to that. God says, I want you to leave this, and I want you to start this nonprofit missions organization. All the medical benefits, all the pension, the parsonage, the mileage, the salary, it all goes away. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it's a pretty exciting thing. You know, you wake up the next morning, you go like, what did I do yesterday? Like, how will I eat and maybe the kids not go sick today? And how do you start a nonprofit in the United States of America? So what do you do after you prayed? You Google, of course, right? How do you start a nonprofit in the United States of America, right? And so this is now 11 years later. And so locally, and we have some things in the display there in the front. I would love for you to go and take a look at that real quick. We're not done with the psalm yet, just a little bit more. But so we do locally retreats. We can even come up to your church and do it there. So we do couples retreats and men-women conferences. We could come and speak on that. We do some missional teaching and speaking as well. So if you have a big missions conference or whatever, we can come and we can speak on that. My wife and I do Bible tours. So I'm, as Pastor Dylan has shared, I'm one of the teachers at Indiana Wesleyan, just online, of course, just as an adjunct. But so what we do is when you travel through Turkey, I help you to understand about the seven churches of Revelation and where Paul and Peter did their things. And then also in Israel. So we'll be going to Israel again in 2027. And so I help you to connect what you see there and how that helps you to highlight what you read in the Bible. And then we do short-term trips. Pastor Dylan went with me to Nicaragua, and we go to many different countries. You see them all there. I just came back from Thailand on my way in about 2 weeks to Costa Rica. And so we can work with your church to put it together for you so you don't have any of that trouble, or you can just go online to oneplusgod.org and you can just sign up for whatever trip you want. So my wife will be in the back there when we're done. You can look at the pictures. You can see my daughter is there on a camel. Yeah, we've rode on camels too, but not in South Africa, in Israel. And so you can see the, some of the nice pictures there. We're still highly involved in South Africa. We make about 900 meals a day to feed some of the poorest of the poor children, that everything that they eat, that they sit on, that they wear comes from dump sites. And so we're still very, very, very involved in our own country. And so I hope that you can see that. And what I want you to see is God in the gaps when you look at that. You know, like here you are from leaving a career with all the benefits attached to it to starting this ministry over here where all of that goes away. And so what do you need to make a success of that? You need God in the gaps, right? You need God in the gaps. So back to Psalm 46, verse 8a, just that first part. Come and see the works of the Lord. You know, I always tell people, you really need to continue to stay close to missionaries, because if you're close to missionaries, you see God in the gaps. Because why do we sometimes struggle to see God? God is there, but why do we struggle to see Him? Because we have so much. And that's not something to be guilty about, to feel guilty about, because God bless you with much as Americans. Do what? To be able to do much, right? So it's not something to feel guilty about, but it is a reality. And sometimes when we have enough money, but also enough people that you can call when you get into trouble, you don't lean on God as much as you should, because you just, you know, you can figure things out. But if you look at the lives of missionaries, what happens? The need is always higher than what you can provide. There's always, in other words, what? A gap. And so what happens is you just see God a lot clearer, right? So stay close to God's missions and His missionary workers, because then you'll hear and see and remember, oh, He is in the gaps. And He can also be in my gaps, right? And so that's exciting. So verse 10, the first part of verse 10, be still and know that I am God. We have a lot of noise, right? Would you agree with me? A lot of noise. Either the TV is on or the music is on, or, you know, there's something going on. We have a lot of noise. And God says, please be still often, because when you're still, you'll have time to focus on who? To focus on me. Give me a chance before you try and fix it yourself. That's basically what he says. You're running around, you hit a wall, you hit a problem, you hit something you need to deal with, you're freaking out. And what do we do as Americans usually? You work harder and you run harder and you shout louder. We kind of see that happening in America right now, right? There's something that you disagree with, so what do people do? Run harder and shout louder, because I want to fix it. And God says, why don't you try it my way? Be still and quiet and just give me a chance to show up in the gap. Just give me a chance. Don't jump so quickly to how you want to fix it. So I want to share this with you. So I shared with you some of the things that we do is we help churches to put a mission trip together. You can imagine one of the first things we tell people is to go on this trip, you need what? You need a passport, right? We always say you need to pray and fast, and then you need to apply for your passport. That's the first two things that you need to do. So I tell these people this, and then I show up, right? It's the first time that we're doing a trip for this group. We need to travel with them from Lima, Ohio, to Detroit, parking lot. We need to go to the airport there in Detroit. Take out their passports, show mine to you, and they go, ah, that's so funny, Pastor. I'm like, no, I'm serious. And they're like, you don't have your passport? You know, what crazy African did we get here to lead this mission group for us to Haiti? Like, I'm so sorry, I don't have my passport. And they go like, you're not joking, right? I'm like, no. Have you ever seen people's prayer life go from year to year? That's an excellent way to do it. It's just absolutely the most amazing thing to witness. Everybody, you know, whether they've prayed seriously or not, they become very serious prayer warriors very, very quickly. And they go like, what happened? And say, well, I'm going to, in January, so this is December 5th of 2018, and I'm saying this for a specific reason. You need to remember this date, because some of you will need to go home and Google it. So December 5th, 2018. So what happens is that some countries you need a visa. Americans usually don't need that, but some countries you need a visa. And so I'm going to Africa in January after I've taken this group in December. And so I had to mail in my passport to be able to go to Mali in West Africa. They need to put a visa stamp in here and mail my passport back. I did it well ahead of time, but for some reason, it's not back. And so the people say, well, what now? I'm like, well, we need to pray because we still have until 3 o'clock in the morning. It's 6 o'clock now, we're leaving, you know, so, or sorry, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that. We need to go. So I'm going to speed up the story. So every half an hour we go like, did it come yet, Pastor? No. You need to pray a little bit more. Half an hour later, did you get it yet? No. You need to pray. So so I asked my colleague. At that point, one other lady started to work for me. And I say, you need to go to my house. Wait, because it will obviously be FedExed. Wait there and see if it comes. Well, it didn't come. Okay, so like 6 o'clock, it didn't come. I say, can you please go to the post office and pray there and see what happens? So she goes to the post office. You can Google this. December 5th, 2018 was a federal shutdown that one day. President Donald Trump called out for the post office and everything to shut down in memory of President George Bush's death, which was just a few days before that. Okay, so the post office is shut down. It's not open. You get it. You get the gravity of this gap, right? And so so she goes there and she sits outside and she prays. A woman comes out on some smoke break or whatever. We don't know this person at all, okay? Never met her. She comes out, she says, you know, what are you doing here? She says, well, my boss is going to Haiti. He needs his passport. It's like, oh, okay, I'll go and look. She goes and look and it's not there. She says, but hang on, there's a truck coming from Columbus, Ohio. It will be here in an hour and then I'll look through it. The truck comes, she looks and it's not there. She says, okay, honey, you need to go home. So, she, you know, the lady who works for me goes home. And we continue to pray. Now it's 9 o'clock in Detroit. And we ate, of course, what all Americans eat, pizza, right? It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why you eat that, but okay, have fun of it. And so everybody goes to bed. This lady calls Sarah, who works for me, and she says, I have good news for you. A friend of mine works in the Columbus office. After I told him the passport didn't come, he feels a nudging, right, to go and look for my passport. Can you? You cannot make this up, right? You believe me, right? Are you with me? You know. So I hope you believe me. I know I'm a crazy African, but so he goes and he walks around in this post. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. We know what the nudging is, right? He walks around in the post office, and I didn't know this, but your mail falls into some little thing and it goes with a track, okay? And my passport fell. Oops. My passport fell off of one of those tracks. And down below, there's a pole and whatever. It fell in there. So he goes and he picks it up, opens it up, and he sees it's my passport. But now he cannot just give it to anybody because it's a passport. It needs to be signed off. The lady from Marion, Ohio, that we don't know at all, in the middle of the night, drives to Columbus, picks up my passport, signs for it, drives to Sarah, who works for me's house. She signs for it. She drives to Detroit, Michigan. 3 o'clock in the morning, the people come out and they say, Pastor, did you have your passport? And here comes Sarah. And he goes like, here it is. Okay. Can you imagine what that did to those people's prayer life, to their faith life? Can I ask you, what does it do to your prayer life? You know, God is really real, truly ever present, really, really can move things that we sometimes sing about, get excited about, but don't really, really believe because it feels so. Whom of you, when you listen to the story, don't have to raise your hand, went like, that's a little irresponsible. That is a little crazy even for a crazy African. We should not put God to test like that. We should not play games with God like that. I'm not sure if this will end well. Whom of you thought that for just a second? Please believe what you read in God's word. Please believe what you sing. And please know that He is truly God. truly God, who is truly still at work today and can do incredibly amazing things. So I want to finish with verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So the next slide, you will see something in Thailand. Years ago, we bought this piece of land, and we could only afford that land that's in pink there to the top right. It's all that we could afford. And now the church has grown, and it ran out of parking space. So we had zero contact with the land right next to the church. That would be the perfect place to rent or buy to put up a parking lot. But we have no contact with that lady. No contact. We tried everything we could with the owner. We tried some other lots there where you see the number 1 and 2. They were available, but too expensive, and it just doesn't make sense. So here we went, and we stood here, and you see myself and my wife here. And then to the left of me, you see the missionary, Pastor Ben, that I started this with 26 years ago, my wife and I. And you can see it's just us. We just pray, right? To the left is the land that's available. And there, where that van is sitting to the left, that's where the church is at. So we just pray. I want you to understand, right? Not some special, we didn't light candles. We didn't pray for like 5 hours. We didn't repeat a bunch of words. We didn't go crazy. We had no nice music in the background. You get that, right? We simply pray and believe that when we pray, God acts. That's all we did, right? So that whole week, we were so frustrated because on that land, a lady started a cockfighting business. So there's a bunch of roosters there. They make a big noise and they poop all over. It stinks, it's loud, it's horrible. I come back to the States. 2 weeks later, my missionary friend called me and says, "Wynand, I have great news for you." I say, "What is it?" He says, "God answered our prayer." The owner of the land came to look at her land. We've had zero contact with this woman for like 10 years, okay? She came to look at her land. She got irritated by what? The roosters. Somebody squatted there with the rooster thing, okay? This woman is just ruining my land. Before Pastor Ben, the missionary, can say anything, she says this: "Pastor Ben, would you like to rent this land for parking for your church?" Before we said a single word. Today, that's the next slide. Today, that's the parking that we built. And we thought, you know what? Let's add a sports center there to attract the young people. Thailand is 12 hours ahead of us, okay? So they already had their morning service. Today, can show it on my phone to you. I'm really, really not lying to you. Today, this morning at 8:44 a.m., I have these pictures of just a whole bunch. Why don't you sit it around? Because people will not believe me. You know, so just scroll up and down, pass on the phone. And so just a bunch of young people worshiping. And the missionary says, "Great news and bad news." Now, I always know what that means. Great news, more people coming to faith, and the bad news always, I need money. He says, "We need more chairs. We need more chairs. We're running out of chairs." Friends, I want you to listen to this, and then I was hoping you could say the last part with me. And when you say that, really, really, really just believe that with me again, okay? So the God part I will read, the us part, if you can say that slowly, not fast, slowly with me, so you really, really can let that sink in again. This is what God says to you this morning, my brother and sister. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." He says, "I will be exalted among the nations. You just listen and you will hear people all over are talking about me. I will be exalted by all the nations. I will be exalted into all of the earth. When Jesus said, I want you to be my disciples here, there, and everywhere to the ends of the earth, brothers and sisters, it is really happening. We just sometimes need to be still and know and recognize how true that is. And then after David hears that, this is his response. Will you say that with me? The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Father, thank you that you are God and that you are there for me to be in my gap. Brother and sister, you know what your gap is. Can you bring that gap before God in a few seconds here and say, God, this is my gap today. This is my gap. Father, I pray that you will step into that gap. Lord God Almighty, the God of Jacob, may you step into that gap of your children. Right now, in this day, break off day, may you show up in that gap so that your children, without fear, with peace and joy, eyes fixed on you, open spiritual eyes, seeing you clearly again, can walk over the breach that they cannot see but is actually there. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, friends.